Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
It's the Geek with Muscles.
Hey, everybody.
Geek with Muscles podcast.
It's about science, technology, spirituality, and something else.
I think I pushed the wrong button.
Welcome.
I think I pushed the wrong button. Yeah, whatever.
And hey, everybody. Welcome to our fourth season of the Geek with Muscles podcast. Yeah, and I'd like to introduce my co-host, the almost famous D-Day George Jett.
Oh, how you guys doing? Happy New Year's and happy fourth season, Mike.
Thank you. Happy fourth season to you, too. And we're so excited about this. Just a quick shout out. If you ever want to give us show ideas or you want to comment on our show, don't forget we have the Geek with Muscles shout out line at 786-633-0313. So yeah. Feel free
and
to call
that.
And
you can also correct us.
You can correct us. I love that.
Yeah, if we were right or wrong, or if you like something, or if you want to discuss something, let us know.
I love that you brought that up, because that's important. And We're talking about something really important today. And we kind of wanted to do this podcast as quick as possible because of the events that happened on January 6th with the count of all of the Electoral College votes, and this country just turned upside down, and it literally went batshit crazy. Yeah. And as a result, social media has decided to remove, in like warp speed, pun intended, that they're removing any social media account, including that of our president, that incites any kind of violence or is pushing conspiracy theory, anything that's going to really rev up these people that are really, really pissed off right now. Mm-hmm. And this all and so we decided to do this podcast. And the title of our podcast today is Social Media and Censorship, because there's a lot of people that are kind of, even though they may be in favor of the election results, or even though they may be in favor of silencing the president, they're kind of scared of the territory that we're treading in and the different things that have happened that have caused this. And so we thought we'd talk about this and try to air it out and try to make sense of it all and try to kind of touch on things about technology that some people aren't even aware of, because maybe they don't work in the IT industry like George and I do. And so the first thing that happened, of course, is on January 6th, Twitter disabled the president's account. First, it was temporary, right? It was 12 hours.
12 hours, yes.
Right, 12 hours. So Twitter goes ahead. They disable the president's account because he was supposed to go on there and, well, everyone was asking him to go on there and say, hey, stop destroying the Capitol, you know, back down. Stop fighting. I mean, it was a shit show. I don't even have to explain what happened because everyone saw it going down live on TV. And so basically he was supposed to go out there and tell people, his supporters, to back down. And he didn't. He was like, hey, I love you. And he had deleted a couple of tweets before that, because the tweets that he deleted before that, he was praising them and calling them like they were patriots. And it was pretty, pretty scary what he was telling them.
Right.
And he deleted those tweets because it was clearly like he was inciting it even further. He was like liking what he was seeing.
Right.
And so Twitter censored him. They pulled his account. They suspended it. Part of the reason why they did this is because Twitter employees themselves were getting really upset. And they put together a letter. A bunch of Twitter employees signed it. And one of the things that they said is that the president was no longer a legitimate Democratic actor. Like, his presidency was no longer legitimate.
Right.
And they said that it violated their civic integrity policy. And that they also said that they helped fuel the events of January 6th.
Right. And that's the whole thing.
Like, they helped.
I do agree with that. And Republicans think that the Twitter is violating their freedom of speech. How do we combat that? Because I understand that they have terms and conditions. All of these social medias have terms and conditions. Right. You're basically in a public, in a private place.
You're your private platform. You're not paying for anything. It's a free service. Yeah.
So where does that fall? Because I think that the problem is, one of the problems is that the Republicans are saying, hey, Twitter and social medias are shutting us off. It's a freedom of speech. What do you think?
I'm a huge advocate for First Amendment rights. I mean, huge. And when I was in junior high, I wrote a research paper based on the book Fahrenheit 451, which was all about censorship and how dangerous it can be. So I hate any form of censorship. But I kind of was trying to think outside the box in a couple of different avenues here. And one of them I was thinking about is, well, is it really censorship if what they're saying isn't true? If you're giving out information that is baseless and lacking truth or fact, and you're intentionally putting this out, then is it censorship? Because it's not true. It's even an opinion. It's completely false.
It's false. Right. And that is a fine line, because social media has made it easy for us to do this.
Right.
If we step back a couple of, decades ago, before social media, and, let's say a person wanted to scream out something, doesn't matter what it was, don't buy gas, gas is bad for the environment, don't buy gas. I would have to get a newspaper, subscription or some sort of advertising on a newspaper or on a magazine. It was hard for me to express myself. But now with social media, I can have my own group of people that don't like a certain topic, using the analogy gas.
Exactly. And we know that a lot of people have already been banned from social media for spreading hateful remarks, because free speech doesn't mean that you can say what you want to say without consequences. Free speech. Right,
like screaming fire in a theater or screaming fire on a plane.
Yeah, exactly. There's
speech. You could say that.
You could, yeah, but there's going to be consequences.
Correct.
Free speech means you're not going to jail for writing something about the president that you don't like. It's what everyone references when they're talking about free speech. But we're also talking censorship here. Censorship is filtering what people are saying.
Right.
Right. And so we have the free speech advocates that are saying, hey, you can't do this to the president. And then you have the company that says, hey, we're a company. We're not a public entity. They're publicly traded, but, they're a private company. And just as anybody has the right to throw you out of their business for being unruly, we can throw you off a platform for being unruly, especially if your unruliness is causing violence around the country.
Right. But again, you have that percentage of the population that don't believe that the wording of said person is wrong.
Right.
So
exactly. They don't believe. And that's the interesting thing.
That's where it comes in, that their censorship, that their, freedom of speech comes in and censorship comes in.
We're in a country where we have freedom of speech. What happens when freedom of speech leads us to the point where the country no longer exists? Do you understand? What happens when it's almost self-destructive?
It is now.
Yeah. Like, what happens when, literally, and we're getting more and more information every day about what happened on January 6th. We're finding out scary stuff. I was reading an article today where there was people there that had maps of the tunnels that run underground in the Capitol building, because they wanted to trap Congress. They didn't want Congress to get away, and they had some pretty horrible things that they wanted to do that never manifested, thankfully. And they're finding all this stuff out. So what happens when free speech can lead to the demise of the very country that guaranteed free speech in the first place?
Well, remember, free speech is one, again, this goes the same with the gun laws and all that stuff. When they made gun laws, we were talking about muskets and, single shot rifles and things, you know, and now we have automatic machine guns. And it's the same way with social media. Before, we had newspapers and television, which you had to pay to get on it. And now you have social media. You just create an account and say whatever you want. So all of these amendments and laws were very limited because they didn't see the scope of what was of what would be in the future. And all of these venues have given people speech. And again, I always see it as they just need to be educated. And I don't mean when I say they, that means everyone needs to be educated,
right,
on what you are talking about. You know,
absolutely.
You just can't go and start a riot, you know, a group on Facebook and then go from there and say, OK, we're going to go, you know, get bombs and Molotov cocktails. And let's, you know, this is a revolution and all this stuff is. And this is what's going on. You are targeting these people that are uneducated. You're targeting people that, you know, have really mental issues because, you know, what they want to do is totally illegal. It's clearly illegal.
Yeah. And that's their target audience.
Right.
Those are the ones that are going to go crazy.
Right. Yeah. But when you say that, OK, I want to go inside the Capitol building, that's trespassing. So if I'm here at a group with 100,000 people saying, let's bombard the Capitol and go inside. OK, I don't care what political group you're in. If you want to say, let's form a group, let's go bombard the Capitol. Let's go inside at 2 o'clock tomorrow. You know, you have a platform now that you are conspiring and building a way to get all these people in there and cause damage and do something illegal. Now, is that freedom of speech?
Yeah, no, it's a crime.
That's right. it's a crime. So now the question is, obviously we know that the crime to go inside the Capitol building uninvited is illegal, but is the actual forum of them gathering online to schedule this, is that illegal?
Right. These are questions that when, like you mentioned, like you just said, when they were creating free speech, our founding fathers, they didn't have to deal with the internet.
No.
So they didn't realize the different forms, the different types of media that were going to be available to spread free speech and misinformation, because it's, you know, it's the same platform. Now, interestingly enough, the president wanted to ban TikTok from the entire United States because many people were using it as a platform to voice their anger towards the president.
Right.
And so he wanted to ban it, and he tried. He literally tried to ban TikTok, and he used the excuse that because it was a Chinese app, there was it was a security concern. I mean, he really stretched it, but he was doing it primarily because of the platform being used to voice, you know, people's discontent with his administration.
Right.
We have a caller, and I want you to listen to his point of view, but it's so interesting about coming from a business perspective, how Donald Trump was actually good for these platforms. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, Mike. This is Jenga from Miami. I must say that I have mixed feelings about the president and social media and being censored by the social media companies. On one hand, I understand that they have to basically shut him up because he's a threat to our current society. On the other hand, he's been a threat for a long time and they haven't done anything about it. So they're partly to blame for this. This should have been done to some degree a long time ago. And I really feel like them doing it now is them basically trying to save face. And they got away with it for 4 years or 3+ years because he was good for business. And they used him just like they used all of us. And now that the jig is up, basically, they took advantage of this riot or insurrection or whatever you want to call it at the Capitol to, you know, do an about face and still save face and not make it look horrible for them. So it's in their self-interest to do it right now. It's not you know, they claim it's for the protection of the country, which it does protect the country, but that's not why they're really doing it. So mixed feelings as far as whether or not they should do it. It is, they are private platforms, so they can technically do whatever you, what they want. It's not like they're a government, so they're not required to broadcast or support one view or another. So I've got a lot more to say on this, but I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
So that was pretty interesting in the sense that it, Donald Trump was good for Twitter. How many people were flocking to Twitter just to see what he was going to say?
Absolutely. Everything. Listen, you know, one guy once told me, by the way, Zynga, that was great. You took everything that I have in my brain and just said it in, you know, 1 minute. It was
perfect. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly the same way I feel. I don't disagree with anything you say. I think I agree with everything, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Business controversy causes is a good thing, because a controversy can make a company business, you know, money, and they made money off of this. But it gets to a point where, like he said, where do you draw the line, and you have to stop it at a certain time. And apparently the, you know, this whole thing with the Capitol, this was their saying, you know, that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
You know, we're shutting it off. But again, I want to be devil's advocate and see it from the other side. You know, not because I agree with them. It's because laws need to be written. That whole freedom of speech has to be rewritten. And you cannot cause harm to people, you know, online bullying, which it's kind of funny that Melania had that be best anti-bullying. Yes. You know, and all of this is caused by that same thing.
Right. If freedom of speech is being weaponized, mm-hmm. if it's being used as a weapon, then I think that's a good test in a way to determine whether or not it's even considered free speech anymore.
Right. And hear me out. Back in 9/11, when the 9/11 bombings and all that stuff went on, they were saying that they were talking in like WhatsApp or some sort of online forums, that they were conspiring and how they were sharing ideas on how they were going to do, you know, the bombings and how they're going to take the things. You know, they were using online forums that were private, peer-to-peer stuff, and technology made it more simple for them to do what they did.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What's any different than that when you have a person that many consider God tweeting out this information, and you see what the outcome is?
Yeah, and especially that you pointed out about 9/11, they figured out that many terrorist groups use email boxes like Yahoo.
Yeah.
And they set up an email box and they write each other. They don't even send it anywhere. They just leave it in the email box.
Right.
So that it doesn't go through multiple servers. And then the other person logs in and reads the email.
Right. So now what's the deal? We're going to say, okay, Yahoo was to blame for 9/11.
Right.
And who's saying, well, hello, I'm Mr. Bomber, and you know, I was supposed to be on that fifth plane, and because Yahoo canceled my account, now I'm going to sue Yahoo because I couldn't read the information that I needed to do to fulfill my task. Exactly. It's like, you know, I don't see that part, you know, that you cannot claim freedom of speech over stuff like that.
I wanted to also bring up, because this was on one of my Facebook feeds, it was an interesting thing that was brought up. The person that was commenting wasn't even referencing Donald Trump and this whole experience, but he was saying how on YouTube, for example, platform picks and chooses what it decides to censor.
Okay.
And when he said that to me, and he said that was a dangerous thing because they were taking away, you know, people's voices. And because, for example, he mentioned a video where somebody was giving advice about building guns or something like that, like homemade guns, or giving advice on buying guns. It was something related to guns, and it wasn't anything illegal about it, but YouTube took it off. They decided it was against their guidelines.
Right.
And they took it off. But I know personally from YouTube experience that they have many videos on there about animal cruelty.
Sure.
And I am a huge fan of big spiders. I've had pet tarantulas. I grew up with pet tarantulas. Okay.
And I know that.
Yeah, right. You know that, right? So I grew up with So I grew up with pet tarantulas, and I can't wait to have more. But unfortunately, Eric's like terrified of them. But anyway,
smart.
Yeah, right. But so when I Google or I YouTube, I want to look at people's tarantula videos. I can't believe the amount of videos that are on there of tarantulas fighting other animals.
Right.
And
right.
I'm like, wait a second, this is freaking cruel. Right. How is this allowed? And it is. YouTube doesn't go out of their way to censor that. So no. It's they're picking and choosing what they want to censor. So I think it's interesting because this whole event of January 6th really made the conversation more relevant than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
About what is it that you choose to censor?
It is, and they have to walk a fine line. You know, that's why, you know, the terms and conditions for any of these places, Instagram, social media, everything, all of them, have to walk a fine line, because they say, okay, no animal cruelty, but then again, like you said, to a tarantula fighting with a snake to see which one survives, is that animal cruelty, or is that educational, because we want to see in the wild a tarantula could see a snake, and you're basically just documenting who's going to win, who's going to die. And listen, I'm not an animal lover, meaning I don't have dogs and cats and all that stuff. I'm not. But I don't kill spiders. I don't kill ants. I don't kill not ants, but anything that's a bug that's not a roach, I get rid of. But I mean, I relocate. You know, spiders outside, I relocate lizards, anything that's in my house that comes in, I relocate them. I mean, saying that, I personally can't watch two animals, you know, see who's going to win.
Yeah.
I think that's cruel.
It's just cruel. Now,
but it's not cruel in the real world.
No, so, because when it happens in that's life. A balance of nature. Yeah. That's
right. So now YouTube, if you put it like, you know, you have a YouTube channel of, let's see let's see a snaky whatever, name the snake, and snake versus this snake versus the other thing, you know, and you can clearly see that the people going in there is just for cruelty, then that's different.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's, you know, like you said, survival of nature, then I don't think it is.
Right, because it's like documentary style. Now I happen to know though that, in fact, Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, a lot of people grew up watching that documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to set stuff up artificially. And they absolutely would. And yeah. And so a lot of the stuff that you saw that you thought was nature, no, they brought the animals together. They wanted it to go down. There was even in certain circumstances you could.
I'm glad you brought that up, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because that always struck a chord in me, because they were pointing out in some cases where you can actually see the wires that were holding back maybe a leopard or a panther from attacking another animal, but they wanted a certain shot.
Yeah,
they wanted
the other one to win or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. So
that to me, that's animal cruelty.
I agree. I totally agree. Now, there's another type of interesting thing that's going on here that a lot of people are crying censorship with what Twitter has decided. Now every platform, and as of tonight, I believe, is either tonight or it was Amazon has decided to pull Parler, an entire platform, off their web services. So in effect, taking them down. And I want to segue into this kind of conversation where people aren't aware of the technology. So they're jumping to certain conclusions based on their lack of knowledge. And what I mean by that is when people are saying, oh, Trump is being censored. Oh, they're taking him offline. They're taking everybody offline. And I've seen a lot of the blaming, you know, Democrats, you know, saying, oh, the Democrats are taking, they're censoring free speech. They're shutting everybody down. But what they don't understand is the way the internet works, and that anybody, can literally move. They can go to another platform. They can host somewhere else. They can host a site themselves. You can literally on the internet turn your own machine into a website. You don't even have to have anybody host your site if you don't want to.
Yeah, if you want to create your own parlor, you get a a guy to program the exactly. make the program for you. You can host it from your own home. That's gonna lead into other issues, which I do want to get into in a second. But yeah, you're right. If you don't like it, you don't need to use Parler or Facebook. Make your own.
You can have a blog. You can have a podcast. Mm-hmm. A lot of people also, this technology is fairly new, relatively speaking. What Ronald Reagan didn't have Twitter. Right. Bush didn't have Twitter. Clinton didn't have Twitter. So they relied on their weekly radio address. They relied on making statements through the media, press conferences, and all of those things are still available to the president. If he wants to get on the TV right now and start talking to everybody, guess what? He can do it.
He can do it.
He can make a release. So he's not...
He's got a podium at the White House.
He can say whatever exactly.
he wants, whenever he wants. He can wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get on the podium and say, you know what, news feeds, guess what? I'm talking.
Exactly. And everybody switches. So in a way... Yeah, social media sites are shutting him down, but at the same time...
Because of the message.
Because of the messages, because they're violating their terms of services agreement, but at the same time, the president can still speak. He has so many avenues available to him, and in fact, Don Jr. decided...
Opened one up,
yeah, because he's thinking ahead. He's like, well, if Twitter takes me offline, I'm going to have my own website. And if the person who hosts his website, the company, decides, wow, we don't want to deal with his crap, well, he can host it himself.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. And that's one of the problems that are happening now, that Parler is a company that, created a Facebook-style interface and is hosted. They have their own servers and their own program. They created the program. But guess what? It's sitting on Amazon Web Servers.
Yes.
So Amazon has also a terms and condition on what you can put on their bandwidth.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you wanted to put something illegal XYZ, if they don't like if they're violating the web host terms and condition, they could ban that too. The domain name has a terms and condition.
Yeah.
So everything that you purchase on through the webs to get your application out has a terms and condition.
Absolutely.
So if Google Play or what is it? What's a Google App Store?
Google Play.
Google App. Google Play.
I think it's Google Play.
So if Google wants to ban a certain app, it's not because of freedom of speech, it's because they're violating their terms and condition.
If you're a gay man and you're familiar with Grindr or Scruff, there are many things that Apple has said, if you don't remove this from your application, we're taking you down.
Right.
Because it violated their terms of service issues. In fact, I remember years ago, like literally 7 years ago, when I used to be on Scruff, and I had an issue with my profile got flagged for violating terms of service.
Right.
And I said, and I asked support why, and they were very nice. They emailed me and they said, you mentioned something in your profile that's code word for drug use. And I go, holy shit, I didn't even know that. That was a new one for me. I was like, in fact, I don't even remember what the word was. Like, I was like, seriously? And he goes, yeah, our software picked that up. Apple is coming down really hard on us that they're going to pull. And this is like, those things like Grindr and Scruff, they make millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
So if they don't abide by terms of services, they're gone too. Right. But again, it's the lack of knowledge and technology that a lot of people...
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know about the technology. They don't know how it works.
It's like doomsday for them.
Yeah. They immediately say it's Facebook.
Well, yeah, Facebook is shutting them down.
Got to go down the line,
Exactly. And they still have avenues available. The president still has avenues available to speak.
So again, it's just really educating. I think many of these people, somebody needs to make a very quick... like, say, 15-minute video on freedom of speech, censorship, technology, learn technology, and tie that in very, very quick into something that everyone that doesn't know could be educated on.
Absolutely. That's like the election, you know, with all the many people were saying, you know, a ballot, they saw a ballot scanned 30, 40 times.
Right.
And if you've ever worked in an election or if you're familiar with the software that runs behind the scenes, they could have scanned that ballot 3,000 times and it's only counted once. If you don't know.
Tell us why.
Well, because it all goes through a database. Right. And on a database, you have a thing called a unique constraint violation. And the programmer programs, hey, only one vote allowed per contest per voter.
Correct.
So
basically the ballot has like almost like a serial number.
Yeah.
And that serial number, once the program sees that serial number, it's not going to enter the same data again.
Right. And you have a contest. Every item on that ballot is assigned literally a number. And sometimes even candidates use that number. They'll say punch number 5, right? Yeah. So that's an ID for that contest on that ballot. And behind the scenes, the software has, you know, an ID number for that contest and that voter and that election and that precinct. And it's so well kept the track.
So I'm going to tell you a couple, okay? A couple of the keywords that they say why there was, let's say, voter fraud.
Okay.
The ballots were counted multiple times.
Right.
Obviously, you answered that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't count them multiple times. You can scan them multiple times, but they only count once at the end of the day. Once. Yeah.
And then the other thing is that, okay, so, you know, at the end of the day, a bunch of ballots came in. You know, let's say at 12 o'clock, I was winning by 300,000. And by 5 o'clock in the morning, I was losing by 100,000 points, or let's say 11,000 points. Did they not know that multiple cities have different requirements on when ballots are, you know, online ballots or mailed in ballots were counted?
Oh, yeah.
Some were counted in prior to counting the paper ballots.
People do not know how these votes are being reconciled behind the scenes. Right. So they don't realize that at this time they're going to add this ballot to it. They also don't realize that so-and-so that's managing precinct XYZ, their car broke down on the way to Election Central and they're stuck in traffic with their results. Okay. And then there's a limited amount of people to check these people in and to run the information through and then to reconcile it. And it's a very detailed process. It's not at all like punch a card and here you go. No. It is very detailed, and there's so much technology behind the scenes, but people don't understand it. So it's so easy for people to make these conspiracy theories up because they don't know what they're seeing.
Right.
What was the other one?
The recounts. For example, they did do the recount, and I'm sure there was a margin of error between both the recount and the digital one because it's human error, but it wasn't enough to overturn an election or the points there, the electoral points on the physical state.
Right.
But if they count, if they run the machine and say, okay, we have 300, let's say an easy number, 1,000 paper ballots, and they run it through the machine says, okay, you have, we counted 1,000 ballots and 50% or 60% went to one candidate and 40 went to the other candidate. Then they do the physical manual one where they manually recount it and both numbers are exactly the same.
Right.
Plus or minus 5 or plus or minus 10.
Right.
Or plus or minus 60. Whatever the margin of error they have, because everything has a margin of error. That's the part that many people have a problem with, because they say that the machine was rigged. But if you have a paper trail, the paper trail is there to combat the machine if somebody says that the machine is wrong.
Yes.
Because I can tell you right now, the machine is probably more right than the actual counters.
Yeah.
the humans.
Absolutely. You know?
So if they count the election three times and numbers come exactly the same, plus or minus 60, okay, whatever the number might be. I'm coming up with that number,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Plus or minus 5, whatever it is. How do you say that the machine is rigged?
Exactly.
If the paper's there.
No, and you have people that, again, they're not familiar, and they had the
election
observers that night that were watching, and they haven't been trained. So, they don't know what they're looking at.
So the third thing that they always say, well, the PC, the parts, the boards inside the machines were frantically taking them off and swapping up with good ones. You still have a paper trail.
Absolutely.
And so everything falls down back to the paper trail.
And
unless the paper trail was wrong.
I can tell you that from personal experience, when I used to work elections, and this is like, I'm going back like, wow, to 2000. Yeah. I mean, like, pretty far back. And I have to tell you, and so you know technology is even better. But when we first started using electronic voting machines, and we used to remove the memory cards from the machines to take them to the precinct where they would be officially read and downloaded. In addition to that memory card, we had a paper receipt of all the votes on that machine.
And they still have that.
And it's even gotten better because technology has improved.
Right,
yeah,
you're right. But what I'm saying is not the memory card that comes off that gives you the election the results that you pass over. They're saying the internal motherboard. They're changing the motherboard inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, that doesn't happen.
Right.
But now, who's saying this? Who do they know what a motherboard even looks like?
I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to go there because that's where my frustration comes in. Because not only this is what they're claiming, they don't have evidence of it. Obviously, it's clearly they don't have obvious evidence of it. And again, I don't want to offend anybody because if I say that, that offends people. You know, that unfortunately, they don't have evidence of what they're claiming. They're just claiming it.
Right.
They're just saying, sure, they switched out the program. As soon as they're finished, they switch out the program and it counts, you know, and it puts the numbers correct. But you have a paper trail. Unless you falsified the paper trail and you put it into the database, then it's fine. Because no database is good without good data.
Exactly.
Now, could you rig? Is it possibility to rig a machine to double count for a candidate? Absolutely, it's possible if you have bad intentions to do so. But you have to have that paper trail.
You would have to have paper trail, and you would have to have
it up because when you do the comparison, they're going to be off.
They're going to be off. Yeah, there's exception reporting that goes on. There's all sorts of things that goes on, and that's like, people don't realize that there's even reports that are generated that says, "Hey, how come we did this recount and here's the list of 1,500 people that showed up in one election and didn't show up in the other in the recount." People don't realize the concept of IT exception reporting because they don't work in the industry.
Right. A very geeky scenario. Everybody's seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? Everyone.
Yeah, everybody. Okay?
He goes in, he finds the password, and he changes his grade from a B to an A,
yes.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, is he hacking a machine? No. He logged in the database. He changed it from B to C. From B to A. But guess where the paper trail is? The teacher.
Exactly.
The teacher knows he didn't get a B. He got he didn't get an A. He got a B, or he failed the class. So your paper trail is the actual teacher.
Exactly.
Now I know it's a movie, but this is what I'm trying to say.
It's a simple example, but it's a simple example, but it makes perfect sense.
Right.
But we digressed a little bit from the censorship, but it was a very valid point to bring up because the censorship is being triggered mainly in part by things that are not true. And we're saying that as IT professionals, we have experience in these things. We know how these things are tabulated. We know how databases work. And so when you hear people complaining and pushing these falsehoods, and these congressmen and congresswomen saying, "Oh, I saw a ballot get scanned 5 50 times or whatever. Well, maybe that's normal because maybe the paper's not reading properly. But guess what? It only gets counted once on the back end. Yep. So it just – so we wanted to bring up the whole voting and the whole technology aspect of this because we feel it's important because we feel like if the public was better educated with a knowledge of technology, they would be able to understand what goes on and less likely to believe these conspiracy theories, which lead to censorship of a particular person. Wow, I think I connected that really well.
Yeah. And I mean, just want to add, if you guys have your own thoughts, and if you want to correct me or Michael or want to add something to it, let us know. We can probably talk about it very shortly on the next podcast.
Absolutely. You can reach us at 786-633-0313. So that's 786-633-0313. We are broadcasting from the United States, so if you're calling from overseas, make sure to include our country code. And I think that's it for this episode. I really want to thank DJ George Jett. Where can we find you?
Right here sitting in front of me. Oh, you can catch me on Facebook. Okay.
You can catch me that was a little Facebook. Late. That was a little late. Well, thank you again, everybody, for listening. Please stay safe out there. Please stay informed. And watch your local news and find out, you know, what's going on. This is a really important time for everyone to be on the same page and not to be making stuff up and just making falsehoods. We all need to be an example of putting what it is that's actually right. occurring out there. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, George. And you. We'll see everybody on the next edition of the Geek with Muscles podcast. Have a wonderful night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You can find more of me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and geekwithmuscles.com.
We absolutely loved having you.
I think I pushed the wrong button.